Hey, everybody, welcome to Be That Lawyer. I'm Steve Fretzen, and you're about to enjoy a wonderful episode of our show where we take top rainmakers and legal experts to help you build a practice that you'll love. If you're ready to be that confident, be that fulfilled, and yes, be that lawyer, you're in the right place. Let's dive in and enjoy the show.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fretzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fretzen.
Hey, everybody, Steve Fretzen here, and welcome back to the Be That Lawyer podcast. We are here for your listening pleasure and viewing and reading. We've got it all. We've got the Be That Lawyer book. We've got the Be That Lawyer podcast. We've got blogcasts on my website if you want to read some upcoming modules or podcast debriefs, if you will. And we are here to help you be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. And occasionally, not always, but occasionally, I bring back a guest who is absolutely delightful, one of my favorite people in the world, and by the way, also has a ton of value to share with you. And that is my friend Barbara. How are you doing, Barbara?
I'm doing really well. And thank you for that huge compliment.
Yeah, well, I think that's something we do for each other. We take our egos and we go, let's jack them up a little bit, you know, and let's, because we're both terrific. We both love each other. And I think there's nothing we can't do to help lawyers and our willingness to put ourselves out there for that. So there was a quote that you sent me, and I love it. It's the Maya Angelou and all that. And then you gave me a better one, not better in the sense that it's better, but better and different, and that hasn't been on the show before. And I want to read this quote. And I want to get your take on it because it's really, really lovely and very true. Don't be intimidated by what you don't know. That can be your greatest strength and ensure that you do things differently from everyone else. And that is your favorite, Sarah Blakely. So welcome to the show. Welcome back after 3 years. And tell us a little bit about that quote.
Well, Sarah Blakely is kind of my icon. She's just this amazingly unstoppable woman who has no self-limiting language, has never let anything get in her way, and always turns a disadvantage into an advantage, always turns a problem into a solution. And I admire her very much. So if you're intimidated by somebody who, I don't know, outpaces you or appears to be more successful, stronger, richer, whatever, let that be your motivator. Yeah. Let that be the things that gives you a kick that says, that I'm not letting that happen. Disabuse yourself of all your self-limiting language, fire your inner critic, and use it as a motivator to keep plowing forward and keep your vision on what it is you want to accomplish. Don't entertain distractions.
Yeah.
Keep that inner critic to the door.
Yeah, it's the scariest stuff that we overcome that I think defines us as professionals, as people, as humans. And, you know, there was a time I was terrified of roller coasters and, you know, I forced myself to get on a roller coaster. And then once I got through that first roller coaster, and I'm in Chicagoland where we've got Great America not too far from me. And then that was the easiest one. But then I was like, what's next? What's harder? What's scarier? And I just kept going and going and going. Next thing you know, I hit them all. And I was like, okay, so this was just me being, you know, afraid of losing my stomach. Okay, well, you lose your stomach. That's part of the thrill of it, is losing your stomach. But that's just, you know, everyone's got those examples of overcoming the head trash and the scary things that happen in our lives. And I really appreciate you. And I know you were scared to come on the show. So this is you overcoming. No, I'm just kidding. You're not scared of that. Everybody, Barbara Kaplan, one of my favorite people in the world, is a CEO and founder of BSK Strategies. How did you get into working with lawyers? Give us your background.
Are you all ready? I love lawyers. Yes, you heard me right, which is why I repeated it. I just think that lawyers are quick on their feet, very funny. I love how they think and sort of, you know, the trajectory of their thought process. They would surprise all of you with the things they do extracurricularly, the, you know, scaling mountains, having a band, doing, and actually 60% of lawyers, according to the ABA, are introverts. Mm. So when you can help somebody get rid of that and step forward with confidence and stand, you know, feet firmly planted and articulate what makes them great, what sets them apart, what makes them different, what makes them unique, that's a huge achievement for them.
Yeah.
And then for me.
Yeah. So I think you and I are very similar, A, in loving lawyers and in that we're weird because of that. And then number two is, I think you and I both feel very strongly that our success is through our clients. It's their success that drives us and that makes us happy. Like, I don't get up to like, oh, you know, what can I do I mean, I do, and you do a lot on our own, but it's like, I want to hear a client close a big deal, or I want to hear of a client get over that $1 million marker to the multi-million. Like, that's what drives me every day. Are you feeling the same way?
Exactly. That's the transformation.
Yeah.
Which is a perfect segue into our topic today, which is about storytelling.
Yeah.
Transformation occurs.
Yes. But Lord, I mean, it's interesting. Like my father, the late, great Larry Lawyer, I think he was a great trial attorney, great at storytelling. And there's a skill to that in court. And then when you think about like the marketing side of it, you know, and whether it's, you know, perfectionism, whether it's just not being able to like realize that that a lawyer's story is critical to how people believe and trust and want to do business with them. So why do lawyers struggle with that piece of it when they're sometimes very good in court doing that?
First of all, I have to say that I would match my father, the lawyer, to your father, the lawyer.
Okay.
My late father to your late father.
Yeah.
Why is it different from the stories you tell in court?
Well, not different in that way. Like they're comfortable like building a story and making a case and like in coming up with creative ways of doing things. But when it comes to maybe self-promotion or coming up with like their story and how they, you know, create their marketing, they're just like oblivious to A, that it should happen, and B, how to make it happen.
Part of it is what we just said, I think, which is the introvert part of a lawyer's personality type.
Yeah.
And introverts do not step forward willingly to promote themselves. There's also sort of vestigial thing from when you and I were kids that lawyers weren't even allowed to sell, in quotes, sell, and they weren't allowed to promote themselves. And I think that that has, in some implied way, carried itself through.
Okay.
But if we as coaches and consultants can help lawyers get comfortable with talking about what they do, how they do it, who they do it for, and why it should matter in a, you know, sort of, it's a humble pie kind of way of doing it, everybody's comfortable, and it doesn't come across as bragging. It comes across as sharing information, having a conversation, connecting with somebody, having them learn about you, having you learn about them. It prompts questions.
Yeah. And I understand intuitively there's a relationship between branding and storytelling. How would you explain that? And then, in other words, how do they intersect and interact?
Well, a story is the connection between your brand and your audience. And story, so when you think about a brand is what differentiates you, sets you apart, makes you unique, stands out. And as we all have heard people say, it's what you want people to say about you when you're not in the room. So it's got to stand on its own and be really stable and strong. Consider it the foundation of the house. And you can't put in the floors and the windows and the gutters and the roof until you've got a really stable foundation. Then you can add the other things. And you've got this wonderful arsenal of tools to choose from. The power of story is the most powerful one because it enhances your brand, it extends your brand, it gives it added credibility, and it enables you, when clients and prospective clients can see themselves in your story, then they think, oh, he's got me. He understands me. He knows me. He's walked in my shoes. And it's just when you leave because selling is such a sensitive topic for lawyers, and it's really kind of a cringy word, think about that you'll never have to sell again because your story will do it for you.
Yeah. And I think the other piece of it is lawyers want to work with people like them that share the same values. And I think what you said earlier about when they can connect with your story and see themselves in your story and what you've put out there, that maybe attracts the right types of clients. Is that a part of it?
That's exactly part of it. And when you do an exercise about, you know, how do you identify your ideal client? What are the characteristics and attributes of your ideal client? When you're done with that exercise, they always look like you.
Mm. What are some elements of that exercise? If there's a lawyer listening that says, you know, I want to get more clients like my best client. I want to get clients that are more like me, that are going to be like all these clients that I love and appreciate and that don't, you know, hound me about my fees or don't, you know, argue every point. What does that exercise look like?
Well, one powerful thing to do is to ask a client for a referral and just say to them, you know, you're my favorite client. You're my ideal client. These are the reasons why I love working with you. Is there anybody else like you who needs someone to do X, Y, and Z? I would greatly appreciate that referral.
Yeah.
Asking for a referral. But the other is to identify the characteristics of that ideal client. Like, what is their pain point? What is the problem that they need you to solve? What is the crisis? How can you turn their pressure into peace, their confusion into clarity? And, you know, sort of where do they live? It's really about things that are, in a sense, cosmetic. Like, where do they live? Where do their kids go to school? Where do they hang out? What do they read? What are their sources of information? It may be something religious. It may be something political. But there are going to be a lot of things that are aligned because it just works out that way. And then there's this implicit kind of wonderful, almost emotional connection that happens.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we all want is we want, like, I'm looking for lawyers who are as motivated as I am. Like, I'm motivated every day to grow, to brand, to help lawyers. And I'm looking for lawyers that have, that share a similar passion for wanting to build and wanting to grow and wanting to serve. And so I think that's what I'm attracting. And I think I'm putting it out there that I'm hustling. Like, I just met with a guy today, shout out to Tom if he's listening. And he just, you know, we had talked 5 years ago. He's got the book, he's got the podcast. And then he's like, yeah, and I want to work with you. And he was like, I didn't have to sell him a thing because he came to me ready to basically go. He's like, how do we do this?
Well, kudos to you, because I always say the marketplace tells you who you are. And if the people who are coming to you are the people that you want to come to you, then you are showing up exactly as you want to.
Yeah. I'm not dealing with any crazy people. I'm not dealing with any egomaniacs. I'm not dealing with really anyone that is, that turns my stomach, or that say, well, that's not someone I want to really deal with. And so my life, and when we say we love lawyers, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're attracting the best and the brightest, you know, people that are coachable, right? You can't, those are the people that I'm coachable, you're coachable, right? And we want to, and we're bringing in people who are.
And we want to work with people who are really motivated, because one of the great things about being a coach or a consultant to lawyers is you are giving them control over their careers and their future. Mm-hmm. They can, in a sense, in quotes, own their clients. And if they don't have that control, then somebody else is going to pick up the reins and describe what they're like and sort of brand them. And it's not going to be the brand that you want. So if you really want to control your career and your future, you have to really understand who is your ideal client. You have to, have you ever heard of the red velvet rope theory?
Well, that's, yeah, I'm assuming that's like, you know, everybody wants to be in the red velvet rope.
Well, it's a Michael Port theory about business development. And you have, you know, envision that you're inside a red velvet rope, and everybody that's inside there with you are the people that you want to work with or that you want to work with you. That's where you put your resources. That's where you do your business development. Everybody else is marginalized on the outside of the red velvet rope, not for any other reason except that they don't fit the definition of your ideal client. So if you have excess capacity or others on your team do, then of course you're going to take that work. But where you're going to go looking for work, where you're going to put your resources, your time, your money, your energy, is the people that you want inside your red velvet rope.
This is why it bothers me so much when I meet with a lawyer or I'm in a networking event and a lawyer will say, well, and you know, I do in employment, so really, you know, anyone can work with me.
No.
Well, you were quick to say no. I wonder why.
Right.
No, that's the right answer. Like, you knew it inherently right away in a millisecond, because it drives me nuts. And I know it does to you too, but let's explain to people maybe more about why that is such a terrible thing to say in a networking environment.
Because you want to own a niche. You want it to be very easy for people to understand what you do and understand why they should come to you or why they should send others to you. And if you're, you know, a grocery store, and you can do, it's one-stop shopping. It's not a specialty. It's not something in which you have bench strength. It's not something in which you have years of experience. It's, you really need to own a vertical and be known for that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm in Philly, and there used to be a lawyer at a firm named called Deckert, who was the authority on the planet for antitrust law. And the minute anyone in Philly said antitrust, Joe Tate's name came up.
Yeah.
That's what you want. He owned that.
Yeah. Hey, PI attorneys. If you're serious about scaling your firm, there's one event you can't afford to miss. PIMCon 2025. Happening October 5th through the 8th at the Phoenician Resort in Scottsdale, Arizona. PIMCon isn't your average legal conference. It's an experience. Learn how to take your firm from good to goat with some of the biggest trailblazers in the PI space, including yours truly, as we share our elite marketing and brand building strategies. Tickets on sale now at pimcon.org. That's PIMCON.org. Or just hit the link in the show notes. Your climb to the top starts at PIMCON 2025. Let's go from good to goat. Hey, Be That Lawyer friends. If you're looking for smarter ways to grow your law practice and want to stay ahead of the curve in legal tech, business, and strategy, then it's time to check out Legalverse Media, the go-to hub for lawyers who want more. This international platform connects you with global thought leaders through articles, podcasts, webinars, and interactive forums that are shaping the future of law. Explore everything with a free 14-day trial, including early access to tools, peer discussions, and a chance to build your brand as a thought leader. Don't wait. Visit LegalverseMedia.com and register for membership today. Hey, everybody. It's Steve Fretzen. As the you know, I'm the host of the Be That Lawyer podcast. And if you're serious about growing your law practice, let's talk. I've coached hundreds of attorneys to build bigger books of business without selling, chasing, or wasting time. This isn't a sales pitch. It's a real 30-minute strategy session to explore what's possible for you in your practice. Just head over to Fretzen.com and grab a time that works for you. And let's make this your breakout year. And you've shared with me, you know, how powerful storytelling is, but how do you unpack that for people who don't have a story? They have a story. They haven't done anything with their story. Their LinkedIn, story-free. Their bio page, story-free. Their infomercial, you know where I'm going. Where do they even, you know, begin? You know, we've kind of covered the ideal client, but that's not the story. Or maybe it is.
They just don't know it's a story.
Okay.
Just don't know it's a story. So if you start asking open-ended questions, tell me about the last great success you had for a client. Tell me about what that client came to you for and the steps you took to help solve that problem. Mm-hmm. Tell me about how that client defined success and what success looked like at the end of the engagement. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about the various steps from the time your phone rang or that client showed up at the door. And they're telling you a story. They just don't realize they have a story.
So is the story about the work you do, the results you get, the successes you've had? Because it also could be confused with, hey, I was in a plane crash. You were in a train crash. Is that our story? Or is the story how that led to me working with lawyers? Is that the story? Like, how do people, where are we going with all the different options and varieties of what a story could be?
When we first learned storytelling decades ago, you and I, it was always about telling clients and prospective clients what was so great about what you do, how clever you were as a problem solver, how persuasive you were as someone who would argue on their behalf. That's not what storytelling is today. So think about Jaws, think about E.T., think about Star Wars. Storytelling today is exactly according to the structure that Steven Spielberg and George Lucas use when they do their movies. It makes the client the hero. Unfortunately, we are not the hero in a client's story. We are the puppeteer. We are the orchestra director. We are the flight controller. We're managing all the strings, getting all the people together, controlling how they interact, you know, giving them the roles they should have so that we all get to the solution. But it's not about you. At the end of the story, the client who came to you with a problem looks like a hero, and it's because of the structure of something called story brand. The story doesn't change. The structure of how you tell the story changes. And your client walks away looking like a hero, either to their staff or their employees or their family or their neighbors or their shareholders. And then the person listening to you tell the story can say, oh my God, I want people to feel that way about me. He made me look like a hero. I want to look like a hero.
Yeah. Do you have an example of that you could share that would just kind of put a fine point on it?
Sure. So a client of mine had a client or has a client who was a really good businessman. He owned his own business and he was also trained as a lawyer. And he wanted to sell his business and move on. And he figured, I can do it myself. I don't need to hire a lawyer. I'm just going to do this. And he spent months and months and months. And the valuations came back, you know, they were all below water. It was just so stressful for him. And he thought, I'm going to walk away and have nothing after all these years. Mm. And then he got smart enough to hire my client and came to him with this terrible problem about, I've got this successful business. It's not worth anything. And so my client took on the role of, in a story brand context, it's called a guide. And he brought together all the people that needed to be brought together, the valuation experts, the forensic this, the particular kinds of bankers, the operations people, all the people that needed to come together, their respective roles, talk about niches. This each owned a niche and was called in for their expertise. And he was the puppeteer, and he made sure all the right pieces were there. They came in when they were supposed to, they left when they. So, to all you lawyers out there, that's your role in this kind of story. You are the orchestra conductor. And when all was said and done, he left the deal with 10 times more than the valuation appeared to be when he hired my client. He looked great to his kids. He looked great to his employees because the company, they still had jobs. He looked great to his family because now they were set. His kids could go to college where they wanted. I mean, you can just extend this. But he was the hero.
The client's the hero to all the people that benefited from this. And the lawyer in the story has that success of the client, and that's the story.
Correct.
Yeah, I love that. I love
So
that.
to the client who's the hero, you look like a hero. Everybody else who matters to this client, he's the hero.
And I want that lawyer because I'm selling my business. I heard this great story, and that's what I want in my lawyer. And that's how I hire that lawyer.
I want my kids to know they can count on me. I want them to know that all my hard work and dinners missed and school nights missed, it's going to come back to them.
Let's wrap this up. And we have a few minutes, but I know this is going to take a few minutes to unravel. But so lawyers who don't tell stories, different than lawyers who achieve through storytelling, what the difference?
What is the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference? Someone that has a story and that can build a brand around it versus someone who is just academic and like, this is what I do, this is the firm I'm with, this is what I do, and like that's their story, is just who they are, what they do, as opposed to someone who has those successful clients and it's been articulated on their website, it's been articulated in their LinkedIn, that those stories.
Facts tell, stories sell because of the human connection. Because the client, you want to tell stories that relate to the claim you make in your brand. And you want to tell stories that a lot of prepositions there, in which the client can see him or herself. You want the client to see themselves in the story you tell. That's my situation. That's exactly my problem. He gets it, or she gets it.
But facts tell, stories sell. That's something people need to really write down and think about. You know, you're giving an infomercial and it's academic, right? I do this, I do this, I do this. This is, you know, my background. Those are the facts. But what's the story, right? It's not there. How do you help people with infomercials? Because that's where I think a lot of this is missed. I'm hearing some of the worst infomercials ever on a regular basis. Lawyers just going through like a menu of the things they do. And I just like put my head down and can't believe what I'm hearing. You know,
And
oh
what
yeah, but thanks for
paint
sharing me those
yourself.
12 things. I remember nothing.
Well, that's true. You'll remember nothing. And what we've talked about is that stories and brands are the things you want people to remember when you're not in the room. I think it also depends on what type of law you practice. I mean, if you're a personal injury lawyer, you're going to tell a very different kind of story than you are if you're a business lawyer. Or a mergers and acquisitions type lawyer. This is just going to be a very different kind of story. And you're talking to a very different audience. So you have to match your story with the audience. But I know what you're saying because anyone can read the yellow pages, right?
I think there needs to be some kind of opening that gets attention. I feel like there has to maybe be some pain points or some things that, you know, like you were sharing about, you know, how the client wins and how we, you know, really try to, you know, help them be successful and how, you know, pay it forward and help others. And maybe something around maybe what makes you unique in the space. Is that too much?
No, and you can do it in 60 seconds or 90 seconds. And
And I mean, I hate to do this because it's, but it is the real
he's
deal
cutting us
that,
off, isn't he?
I mean, I think there's some value to utilizing something like a ChatGPT to put in some information and hear how it comes back to you. I did an exercise with my provisors group here in Chicago. We had a contest, an infomercial contest, and I said, everybody, hey, you know, put in everything into ChatGPT. I don't care if you read it or say it. And the person who ended up winning read it from her phone and was still strong enough to beat out 20 plus other people in this group to win the infomercial contest, because it really got to the essence of her story and why she does what she does and how it ends up saving people a lot of stress. She's in the HR space.
So was it did it inject emotion into it?
Oh yeah. Emotion and the feelings we have with employees and how scary it is to be surrounded by people who might want, you know, that are great today, but are they going to be great tomorrow? And how do we prepare for, you know, the worst in her world in HR? I mean, it's great. It's great to have someone in your corner when something goes bad. It's even better to have someone protect you from things going bad. And I think she really got to the essence of that, but I don't know that she would have come up with it on her own without a little help.
And it also, and I agree with you, and ChatGPT is really great for that, assuming that the prompts that you feed it are the right prompts. But it also, from the way you're telling it, plugged into something that's going on for everybody today, which is uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Just not knowing what to do, what not to do, what's going to, you know, cause somebody to react. And we just don't know. And it seems like ChatGPT kind of got that.
It did. I can't say it's the be all end all, but I think for, especially for lawyers who are struggling to sort of figure out a solution to something, not simple, but something that may end up being simple, is to plug a bunch of prompts in there and see what comes out. And, you know, one thing that I'll give as a prompt too, that I think is really helpful, is put the prompts in and then say, do you have any questions for me before giving me, you know, that you'd like to ask before giving me a response? And then it asks you three or four questions. It gets it even more fine-tuned, and then you get a response. You're like, oh my God, that's spot on. So good stuff all around. Hey, help us out, Barbara. There's a segment we're doing right now called Barbara's Big Mistake, and something that happened in your career life that you'd like to share and what you learned from it would be a great way to kind of wrap things up today.
People for years had been saying that I should go out on my own, that I should leave the law firm space where I had CMO and director of marketing positions and go out on my own. And I kept saying, this is my inner critic, you know, and all that self-limiting language. No, I'm not smart enough. They're going to find out I'm not that smart. No, I don't have the skills to do that. My phone's never going to ring. All the things that we say to ourselves. And then one day I just woke up and I said, I got to do this. I just have to know. And I did it. And it was really a lot of conversations with my inner critic.
Mm-hmm.
It was. And I finally just got to the point where I moved it from the driver's seat to the passenger seat. And I said, okay, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a Sarah Blakely quote, you know, I saw a lot of people around me who were successful, but that didn't mean that I couldn't use that as a motivator for me.
Yeah. It's very funny. I had the opposite. I was confident I was going to own a business. My father put that in my head to be an entrepreneur very early on, that, you know, he always worked for himself. The funny thing is, I had friends who I'd tell, and they're like, that's a terrible idea. Don't do that. So I was like trying to convince them that I should. Now, when I see my friend Noel, I always put it in his face 21 plus years later that he's still at a job and I have my own business and love every day. So,
and what a tribute to you that you've had this friend for 21 years.
Yeah. Now I just know I tell him to go suck it and we move on and have some cocktails together. It's all good.
May I steal 60 seconds?
Yeah, sure.
I have a one sheet that I would love to give out to anybody who's listening on the power of story that really speaks to the kinds of things we've been talking about today. May I just give my email address?
Yeah. Well, email address will be in the show notes, but give it out verbally too.
Okay. Barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A at B-S, like in Sam, K, BSKstrategies.com.
Yeah.
And if you email me having listened to this, I will send you this wonderful one sheet that will really help you a lot.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. So let's wrap up. Thank our sponsors. Of course, we've got the Law Her podcast with Sonia crushing it. PimCon is happening in October in Scottsdale, Arizona. I will be on stage talking about podcasts. So go figure. Podcaster talking about podcasts and to personal injury attorneys from around the country. And of course, Legalverse, one of our newer sponsors who is amazing. And again, you're looking for more of an international edge in your practice and you want to, you know, read articles from all around the world from lawyers and legal experts. That's where you go for that. And Barbara, again, appreciate you giving out your email. Any other, you have a website, anything else you want to share with people?
My website is bskstrategies.com. I also encourage you to go to my LinkedIn profile. I publish regularly a lot of great blog posts on the kinds of things that we, on things that are very topical and actionable that you can learn from. So please check out my LinkedIn as well, Barbara S. Kaplan.
Yeah. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't say what a pleasure having you back on the show and getting to hang out with you and talk shop, because I think you and I have different approaches with the same end goal of helping lawyers that we love to be themselves, to actually be that lawyer. If you want me to come full circle with it, I will. I'm not shy. But thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing it, provisors meetings and all that kind of fun stuff moving forward. And thanks again for coming back.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you everybody for hanging out with Barbara and I for 30 minutes or so. And, you know, go back and listen, take some notes. I mean, there's a number of things that Barbara mentioned that I know will be really critical for your story and for how you differentiate yourself in your space. And I think niching down and all the things that she shared, all so critical and valuable. So take to heart and take action. That's the most important thing, is to take action and, you know, take what you learn on this show and do something with it. Don't just listen, you know, on the sidelines. Do something with it. And obviously, if you guys ever have any questions for me, I'm at steve@fretson.com. You can always reach out. Thank you, everybody. Take care. Be safe. Be well. We will talk again very soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.